With the Shema Kasigis. So let's get started with the what in many ways is the big starting point of this whole discussion. This Mishnah you were taking a look at. So the Mishnah says, Baba Kama is about being Mazik people. That everybody knows. Baba Kama is about being Mazik people in many different ways. So the first six prakim of Baba Kama are about Mamon HaMazik. The last four, the ten prakim altogether, the last four are about Adon HaMazik. The first six are where you have property which is causing damage. Your animal, or you dug a pit, you lit a fire, or you have a water tank that overflowed, whatever it is, your property causes damage. The last four prakim, and the first six prakim really hang together, they're very intermingled to a large extent. The last four prakim are basically about different cases of where a person himself is causing the damage. You might not be damaging another person, might be damaging property, but you yourself are causing damage. So what are those cases? So you have prakim 7, 8, 9, and 10. Zayin, Ches, Tes, and Yit. So ches is terekachovo, where you actually mazik another person's body. You beat someone up. So what do you have to pay? Zion is about geneva, and ches and yinav are about gazela. So you steal. That's one way, loosely speaking, of causing someone else a loss. So one, the dinam of gazela. Here we're in the last parak, kufyu gimel of an office of Avakama, the last parak of Bavakama, the second of the two hagozel prakim. So one of the issues that's being discussed. One issue to discuss is if you're a Goslin, the issue to steal, and if you're a Goslin, how do you pay back, and how do you force the guy to pay back? But another question is, you're not the Goslin, you're not the Nigzel, you're a third party. I don't steal, I wasn't a victim, but how can I, what are the rules that govern how I can interact with a Goslin? If someone wants to sell you a watch that fell off the truck. So the assumption is that you're not allowed...
Jumped off.
Yes, it jumped off the truck. So this guy asking for a buy a watch. The guy
But not here.
If the guy asks you if you want to buy a watch, that you can't do. You can't buy stolen goods. The Mishnah here talks about, how about, you're not buying stolen goods, you want change. So I need four quarters for a dollar. So who's the best person to get change from?
Of all people, I expect that from.
You're really not getting the point.
But I just need to point that in somewhere.
Amazing thing. Okay. Lima Tara is very valuable. And you should enjoy it. And we should have a sense of proper approach how to get in or proper approach once in. You might have a dialogue about making jokes. But they discuss this. It's a serious child about making jokes. They're supposed to make jokes when you live or not. So the Gemara says you have to be very serious. The Gemara says, I think I mentioned, I remember that Rajesh spoke about this, everyone was laughing here, which is right. That he spoke about it like Rava. Right? Yeah. Because the Gemara says you have to learn Torah the way the Jews were Harsinai. Their mom was shaking, they were like sweating from fear. And Rava made jokes. The answer is you get started with a good joke. Okay. So everything has to be never be to mato. The guy asks you want to buy what? So you have to say no. But let's say you just want change. I don't want to buy stolen goods. I just want to get change. I want to go for change. Who has change? Well, either a bank or someone who pickpocket, yeah. someone's been taking sparring change from everyone else's pockets last hour. He's got a lot of change. That's what the Mishnah says here. Ain person lo mitevas mochtim lo mikishol gabar v'lo ain nothing man staka. If you need change, you can't go to someone who's a thief. You know, you're not going to get money from him. I mean, you're going to give him a you're just going to switch it. Right? He has a dollar in stolen quarters. You're going to give him a dollar, he'll give you quarters. So you could have said, well, you know, it's all the same. I still have a dollar. He has a dollar. So now his dollar bill is stolen. No, it's still not right to even get change from someone who's a thief. Nor should you take tzedaka. It's often a big shaila. Now's not the time to dwell upon this, but it's often an issue that many tzedaka organizations have struggled with. If someone's willing to give you tzedaka, but very often people who are ganavim want to make themselves feel better, so they, like, in their mind, they like kasher the money by giving away a miter to a tzedaka. So the Mishnah says, "Ein tzedaka, you can't take tzedaka from the stolen funds." From the stolen funds. Oh, however, one of the Mishnah's examples, of thieves, aim at posting lo mitevas, mochtim lo mikishol gabon. You can't take change from the box that the mochis, the tax collector, has to where he collects his taxes. Apparently, he's a goslin. That's what the Gemara picks up with. Mochtim, the Gemara says, I've amr Shmuel dimachus adina, but Shmuel said that the law of the land, the law of the malchus, is binding. So if the king says, if the government says you have to pay taxes, you got to pay taxes. So why are you assuming that tax money is stolen money? As though the tax collector has no right to take the money, and whatever money he forces you to pay, oh, that was theft. It wasn't theft. The halacha recognizes the king's right to collect the tax. So that's legitimate. Sorry? That's what the Mishnah is saying. The Mishnah is saying you can't take change from the tax collector's box of money. And I need 100. I want to break 100. So I'll go to the tax collector. Here's a lot of small bills. I'll say, break 100 for me. The Mishnah says you can't. Ain partin, that was the Mishnah. Ain for unkutchis gimel. Ain partin mitevas mochtim. So why? Presumably because all that money in that box, that's a box of stolen money. Every dollar bill, every quarter, every five, every 20 in there is stolen funds. And the Gemara says, why? Well, you think the tax collector is a thief? The IRS is not a thief. They have the right to collect it. Why? You don't want to give it to them. He forced you to give it. No, but you don't know, even if you don't want to, if you owe me money and I make you pay back, I'm not a thief. You owe me the money. I went to Basin and I legitimately got it back. So what's the problem? That's what the Gemara wants to know. But Amar Shmuel Dina Chusadina. But the Dina Malchus is a din. The Halacha recognizes the binding force. If they say you got to pay tax, you got to pay tax. The Gemara gives two answers, and the Gemara keeps giving these two answers. Amar Chanina Bar Tahana Amar Shmuel. The Malchus Shein Lo Kitzva. Answer number one is you're right to the Chusadina, but the Amar is a case where he does not have the right to collect the tax because Ein Lo Kitzva. There's no limit. There's no parameter, no system. It's just the guy, the tax collector, is going door to door, and he's just saying, okay, I want $10,000. Okay, I want $5. Some is arbitrary and limitless. So that's not a legitimate tax. The government can have a system, but stops to say, you know, if you're in a certain bracket of earnings, you have to pay a certain percentage, that's legitimate. But just stop to have, make it up as you go, that is wrong. Remember, until not so long ago, even in American history, they used to have tax collectors. We thought, okay, that's the way taxes would work. You didn't have a form of these things in the IRS. A guy would come knocking on your door, going from door to door, collecting tax. Jefferson was proud that in his day there were no tax collectors to be seen in North America because they were able to cut out most of the personal taxes. But that's the moment. So the first answer is, Machas is only binding if it's Kitzah. And what's the second answer? What is the second answer? What's the Gemara's second answer? Mechas is only binding if it's governmentally backed. If the government appointed this guy to the tax collector, that's fine. The Mochas only me'ela. That's what our Mishnah in Bava Kama, that assumes that the Mochas is a ganav, and that all of his funds are stolen funds, that's because either he's a Mochas, or he's a Mochas only me'ela. So Rashi, Shalom me'es
ha'melech. Well, then he's not a tax collector.
Well, no. In other words,
drop off a box of coins by the king's palace and say, okay,
here's... No. Fuck it.
No,
you live in a mob, controlled neighborhood. So if you want your business to thrive, and you don't want your windows to be shattered once a week, then you pay protection money, right? Or the the Shah of Barbary Island has his fleet of pirates, and if you try to ship to Spain, and if the American government is not going to, if Thomas Jefferson is not going to pay tribute to the day of Barbary, so many American ships are not going to make it through. So you do what you have to do, and you give him a little present, quote unquote, and then everything works out well. Right? So that's a meches, that's a moches al me'ilam. It's a mobster. So a mobster is not dimuchu zedin. I mean, you have to figure out, does it make sense to pay? It may make sense to pay, or may not make sense to pay. But there's no halacha that says, it's just because John Gambino controls your neighborhood, and therefore you're mechuyev al pidin, dimuchu zedin to pay him. No, dimuchu zedin is only malchus. That's a very good question. Excellent. That's a very good question. That leads us to the question which we're going to have to, which we're not yet ready to talk about, which is how you define the malchus.
Yeah.
Right. Which is going to ultimately go to the heart of why is the malchusa binding. But for now, the Rambam in the Hilchos Gezeila talks about this idea, and it's already in the Rima Gash and Bava Basra and Daf Nun Hei. Rima Gash was the Rambam's father's Rebbe, so it's not surprising you find the same. Talk about Dina Machusa as opposed to Cham Sanusa de Machusa. It's only if the king has a din, as opposed to the king just has just theft. And the king could also steal. So that's the first din. Eilo Kitzvah. If it's Eilo Kitzvah, that's not Dina de Machusa, it's not the king's law, it's just the king's arbitrary theft. And in the second case, it might be Dina, but it's not de Machusa. It's Dina de Shabbat. It's piracy. The pirates, you're not machiv to pay pirates. And maybe, no. Maybe a sakaras the fascists, you're not doing a question.
Yeah, like, think about, what about the
feudal
system where, like, this goes back to how you define government. Because on the one hand, you're not exactly paying representative of the king, you're paying a representative of a missionary of the king who basically rules his own territory.
Okay, right. Okay. So you have a different levels of government.
So where do you draw the line?
We're going to see, as we see that, one of the things we're going to see develop here, we're going to see how the Rishonim develop our Gemara, and we'll see how the Rishonim develop the idea of Dina Chus Adina. Two questions. Why is it true, and when does it apply? Obviously, they're not unrelated questions. And the why is it true is going to give us a fascinating insight. We see how different Rishonim approach to political philosophy, and how they understand the power, why is government binding, and what makes something a government, which is what both you and Akiva are touching on. So you raise the excellent questions, and these questions come from the Gemara. We're not yet ready to answer them. So let's get started, and then we'll keep track of our questions as we go. The Gemara points out that these two answers, Mochas Or Me'elav and Mochas Shein Lo Kitzvah, they're not just answers to Akasha. These are really defining the boundaries of what's called the Mechus Adina, right? There has to have Kitzvah, and it has to be Me'et HaMelech. It has to be government, and it has to be non-arbitrary. So this set of guidelines applies to many different Mishnayos. Here's one Mishnah in Bava Kamma, which indicates you don't have to pay taxes. The Gemara says it must be a case where Taka Namach is to pay taxes. Is because it's a mobster, it's not the government, or because it's arbitrary and not systematic. Then the Gemara says there's another couple of Mishnayos also which indicate that you're not Mechus to pay taxes. The same kasha. How could you not mechuyev to pay taxes? Ikdamas l'aha. Here's a mission in Kalayim. The last part of Kalayim is about shatnas. Kalayim begadim. Well, you bashadim Kalayim. I feel al gabi askar begadim la riach ba'at hamas. It's a meches rather. You're not allowed to wear lots of clothing, shatnas on top of other clothing to beat the tax collector. To beat the tax collector, meaning people sometimes do this, that they're going to charge you customs if you when you travel country to country with merchandise. It's not merchandise. It's my own personal clothing. You'll wear it. You're wearing 10 suits. Wait, 10 suits. You're not planning to wear these. You're planning to sell them. But in order to beat the tax collector, in order to cheat on taxes, the guy's going to pretend that he's wearing it. So that's the shayla. Let's say one of them is shatnas. How are you dealing with shatnas? Obviously, you're not going to sell it to non-Jewish man. I'm not going to sell it to a Jew. I'll sell it to a non-Jew. I have a Hugo Boss suit. Full of shatnas, let's say. I'll sell it to a non-Jew, but I won't have to pay import tax. I don't have to pay $40, $50 to bring it into the country. So I'll wear it on top of my other clothing. So if you all got me a star of the gudgeon, I have lots of... he's wearing 10 suits. The outermost suit is kalayim. It's shatnas. So you could have said, what's this? It's a shatnas. It's not making you warm anyways. you're overheated from all the other clothing anyways. It's not making an impact. You could have said, maybe shimutah. Says the Mishnah, no, you're not allowed to do it. Exactly. So that's exactly the Gemara's problem. The Gemara's problem is, one second, forget about shot news, who says you're on a shiur? That's it. Right, so let's see the Gemara. The Gemara says about this, one second, my things go to the Kiva. This is a sugya text. My things go to the Kiva, this Tanya, also about Riyah Chatabecha. The Shimon, all the Shimon Rekiva, what's about Riyah Chatabecha? Are you not allowed to cheat on your tax? Are you wearing a shot news to cheat on tax? Like, this is a shot news title. Take a look, little letter Reish on Asher Lavia, it takes you up to Lava Test. No, I'm sorry. No. Yes. The Rekiva says, now that you have a taxes with the Shatnin, and Rav Shimon says, other two Talmidei Rav Akiva, different version of what he said. So you go to one side. Mishnah Mel Inyan Kalayim, if it's a Machlokas about Shatnin, the Bahasa Mitzvahi. I understand the Machlokas. Marasav Adana Shem Eskabin, what's that? Marasav Adana Shem Eskabin Asr. I understand why you could argue your only reason to wear the clothing is just because you want to make it seem like it's your own personal clothing and not merchandise. So that could be. So whether that's a violation of Shana's or not has to do with Dovah Shem Eskavin. It could be. There's a general machlokas. How you look at Dovah Shem Eskavin? It could be some machlokas of Shana's Yehuda. Okay. So we understand how you could debate the Shana's point. But the Gemara says, but what's going on with the Mechas? Lavricha the Mechas Mishari. You're a lot of Chia taxes? If you're telling me a different case, the other case Dovah Shem Eskavin than the Shana's have, let's say I'm a dry cleaner. So a lot of dry cleaners, like the guy across the street, Toffees. They don't do the cleaning there. They have another site on St. Nick where they do the cleaning, and then they bring it here. So you see every once in a while the van pulls up. So you imagine you have a Jewish guy in dry cleaning. Why not? Jewish guy in dry cleaning. So he's carrying loads of clothing on his back. He's not trying to wear it. It's not his. He just needs to, instead of carrying it like this, it's very uncomfortable, he'll swing it over his back. Much easier to carry it like that than to try to hold it and keep it from getting... Oh, so the Mishnah discusses that might also be a Dovah Shem Eskavin case. It happens to be some of the clothes in the Shatnez. I have a non-Jewish client who has a Shatnez suit, and he gave it to me to clean. So now I'm carrying my back, so I don't have to hold it like this. So there you could discuss, it happens to be, it might be for giving me a little bit extra warmth, a little bit extra protection from the sun, it's shining, but I'm not really trying to wear it, I'm just trying to carry it. So I could discuss, that's a great Dovah Shem Eskavin, right? You're the Maisa you wear, you're doing a Maisa with Isha, but it's not your intent. Your intent is just to carry it. So the Gemara says, I understand that issue, but the problem is that here, to be a dry cleaner, there's nothing wrong with that. But to be a tax cheat, there is a problem. But we have brought Amechas, Mishori, that's absolutely awesome. Amr Shmuel, Dina Machuz Adina, Samuel Chini Barka'ana, Amr Shmuel, the same two answers. Either Mochus Eimel Kitzva, or Mochus Ome Elam. Again, of course, in a case where you're talking about Chiz to pay taxes, the knowledge of taxes, what's the Mishnah talking about with the guy wearing the clothing to cheat on the taxes? A case where it's not a tax you're going to pay. Either it's a discriminatory tax. Oh, you're Jewish, we're going to make you pay more. Oh, you're black, we're going to make you pay more. Oh, you're brown-eyed, we're going to make you pay more, whatever it is. Or stuff, we're just going to kind of make it up as we go. It's not just an animal kitzva. Or the other answer, that it's not a governmental tax. It's, you know, the bully in the playground who steals your lunch. Right? He steals your lunch money, so he grew up. And now, he has a gun, he has a lieutenant, and if you don't pay his tax, quote-unquote, you're not going to, your business will be a firebomb.
Business? So, not just your business.
Whatever it is. So if you like your feet in leather shoes rather than cement shoes, you got to pay him a tax. And so in that case, that's the mission, that's the going thing. It's such a case, I'm not going to pay the guy. I mean, if I could outsmart him by wearing the clothing so he won't cop and should pay taxes, I'm not looking to pay him. He's a pirate. He's a mobster. So in that case, then the only shot becomes, oh, but Shatnez. Shatnez, you got to figure out the Dovah Shem Eskavin is a mutzurah. That's the going to consider another mission in the Darim, where a case where you're allowed to fool the cat collected by catching something that sounds like a nether. So again, the Gemara is going to the same thing. Forget about the Nidarim issue. What about the tax? It's the same answer. Sorry? Okay.
Where does Robin Hood come into all this? And I'm curious. My question is, I understand the second answer, that makes sense, but the first answer, you can easily say who are you to decide whether the government has an assistant.
Right, that's a great question. That's a great question. Akiva's pointed out that you're gonna have to, we have to, we would need to give some more.
I don't agree with any tax at the U.S. Doesn't mean I don't have to pay it.
Right. It's very convenient to say that you think the taxes are unfair,
mm-hmm.
and that would allow you to not be afraid to pay it. Right, so you're gonna need to apply it well, kitzur. As we see more, we're gonna see how exactly. You're raising an excellent question. So what do we know from this thing before we even come back? So what do we know? We know there's this idea of Dima Chutzadina, and we know that Dima Chutzadina applies to, or definitely applies to, paying taxes. Right? Now we come to our Gemara. So now our Gemara says that you have the court, and the court issued a document. So do I have to, do I recognize the document, or Baruch Hashem wasn't joined, if people enjoy life in this way. Do I recognize the documents or not? So the Gemara said, what? The one type of star for sure should be good. Then what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said, star and kozna, are they valid or not?
Yeah.
Exception of?
Exception
of? Good. The Gemara said, you understand part of that statement. Which part of the statement do you understand?
Mecher part.
Mecher, because it's only a star.
Raya.
So, okay, it's a good Raya because presumably they're not lying. But Shtar Kinyan, Shtar Matan, happy to be. So the second answer to the Gemara was in a Chanami. It doesn't work. And the Mishnah was not just excluding. Gittin is excluding all Shtar Kinyan. The first answer was what? Was Dina Machusa Dina. Okay. Dina Machusa Dina? No, it works based on Dina Machusa Dina. Okay, it's not a new concept. Shmuel is famous for saying it in many places. Baba Kaab, Baba Vas, and the Darim, and now Gittin. So was the rush? The rush has been poured hard. What does the rush say? Who saw it? How many guys saw the rush? Show of hands. Thank you, Mr. Rush. Okay, let's take a look at the rush together. Well, before we even open the rush, as we rush the rush indeed, well said. As we turn to rush, so what should jump at you as aspiring Lamdanin that you all are? What should jump out at you? You look at this Gemara. The Kasha, the Chil between Shtar Rai and Shtar Kinyan, and then the two terms, between Dima Chutzadina or Inacharami or Shtar Kinyan or Tzuli. So what's, when you explore such a Gemara, what are the questions that you programmatically are going to ask? Okay, we have to figure out how to ask it. Okay, good. What's the relationship between the two terms? Why the second terms? Shall I ask the first terms? The first terms is Dima Chutzadina, right? We know, Shmuel is Dima Chutzadina. So what does the second tariff say? What's the second tariff say? Dina Chutzadina... What? What's wrong with the first answer? The second answer is, well, you're right, forget about it. Why? What happened to Dina Chutzadina? So you have a couple of choices. What are your choices? Just thinking logically.
Either... Because the first one's not really strong. I mean, yeah, I don't think you can say it's really wrong, because it's not said it's really wrong.
Ah. So one possibility is, second terrorist is called Dima Chusa, Lav Dina, don't pay your taxes.
Or,
then second terrorist doesn't hold the Shmuel. Okay, that's one possibility. Why do you not think so?
Good.
Excellent. Let's take a look. Let's take a look at the Rush, and then we'll have a chance to begin to say, well, the Rajba has Rush raises this and says one thing, the Rajba raises this and says Allah Rashid. Yes. And that gets us moving. Take a look in the Rush, here in Daf Tzadi Gimel. Tzadi, if you have it old-fashioned like me, you have old-fashioned the Talmud Gemara, it's Daf Tzadi Gimel. If you have a newfangled Gemara, then it's Simin Yud. Either way, Simin Yud.
Page head,
there you go. Daf Tzadi Gimel Amad Alf. You know in the Rush, is also Amid, it's Beis Amid Gimel Amid Dalet. You know that? It's important to know, as an aside, you should know, Amud doesn't really mean, usually if you ask to translate Amud, you say it's the side of a page, but Amud really means a column, right? Like Amudim, Habinyan, right? Amud is something that's standing, a column. So a block Gemara, typically a block means a leaf. A dot is a piece of paper. This is a dot. But an Amud means a column of text. So typically, almost every blot in Shas, you only have one, I think every blot in Shas, you only have one column of Gemara. I think there are one or two exceptions. You only have one column of Gemara per side. So this is Amud Aleph, and this is Amud Beis. But in Rush, you have Amud. This is Tzadik Gimel Amud Aleph, Tzadik Gimel Amud Beis, Tzadik Gimel Amud Gimel, and Tzadik Gimel Amud Aleph. That's why every once in a while, you'll look at, let's say, in a Shach, or someone will quote a Rush, and he'll say, Tzadik Gimel Ayin Gimel. You're like, well, it's Ayin Gimel, it's Amud Gimel. It's the type of paper is that? The Mobius strip? The opposite of Mobius strip. The answer is no! There can be more than one Amud. Amud is a column of text. It's not a side of a page. It's important to know. So we are, though, on Tzadik Gimel, Amud Aleph. So all interpretations.
Isn't it Yerushalmi also?
I'm sorry?
Is it also in Yerushalmi?
Is it also in
Yerushalmi?
Yerushalmi.
You have more than just Amud Aleph on that.
Yeah?
I think so.
And then they're talking about Aleph.
That
okay. Let's take a look. Simon Yud.
I think you have up to four on the
Rosh Hashanah. Yeah, Kol Shartz Ol Batol Akum. The Rosh always begins by giving you the praises of the Gemara. Why does he do that? Because, well, let's first read it, then we'll understand why. Kol Shartz Ol Batol Akum. The beginning of Simon Yud, the word Kol. Kol Shartz Ol Batol Akum. All the Shartz that come through the non-Jewish course. Afa Pishachas Meim Akum. Despite the fact they're signed by the non-Jews. And the kosher chutz megidin yoshechu avadim. And Rav Shimon says, even those work af eluk sheim. We even recognize a get or a shtar shicher by the non-Jewish court. Do you remember there was something about them being different? Well, hutzku is mentioned after the hedges. The only time we don't recognize them is that they're made by a hedger by a private non-Jew. But if they're made by a non-Jewish court or certified by a non-Jewish court, they are acceptable. But now the Gemara comments, Kapask Vatani, Loshno Mecha, Loshno Matana, it doesn't matter whether it's Mecha or Matana, whether it's a Shtar Raya or a Shtar Kinyan, Bishlamash Mecha, if it was a bill of sale, then the Kiyam Zizikamayu Zakana. You're already Kone Bishas, the Kinyan Kesa. A Shtar Lalai Biyamu, the Shtar is a Shtar Raya. So therefore we can accept it, because Lo Yav Zizikamayu, Mahavi Mayan Avshayu. If he wouldn't have actually paid, if the facts aren't true, they would have not have ruined the reputation by the Kasvalei Shtar and write him a false Shtar. But Matana Naikani La, where's the king by the Matana? The high Shtar has to be the king Shtar itself, the Shtar Kinyan. High Shtar Chasvi Yalmu, it's a bunch of junk, it's a broken piece of clay. No more valuable than garbage. So it's scrap paper. So I'm a Shmuel, I'll do a Chusadin. The Iba Seima, Tini, Chus Mikigidi Nashim. Either the first answer, Dima Chusadin, or the second answer, you're right, the Mishnah only meant to talk about Shtar Raya. So up until now, he's about to start commenting. So just so you appreciate, the way the Rush works, he's about to start talking. The Rush is about to start talking. The way he wrote his sefer, you turn another 100 pages, 70 pages in your Gemara, you come to the Rif, who came earlier. Rif was a contemporary of Rashi. He lived 2 centuries before the Rush. The Rif wrote a kitzer, as we know, of the Gemara, right? Which is almost all just abridged lines of the Gemara, with a very little added by the Rif himself. When the Rush wrote his sefer, what he did is he started with the riff, and then he added. The base is the riff, and then he adds more comments from the Baal Yosef. And that's the thing we've mentioned in the past. It's important to realize that, because every once in a while, there's a stira in what seems to be a stira in the Rush, which is really not a stira at all. Because the Rush always begins by calling the riff. Almost always. So sometimes if the riff has some shita or some twist on the Gemara, he'll just quote the riff, and afterwards he'll explain what he thinks. But it's not a stira that he quoted something he doesn't hold of it, that was just a direct quote from the Rif.
Is it sort of a commentary on the Rif, or...?
Commentary is not the best way to put it. It would be great if they would reprint the Rush with two different fonts, where they would have, let's say, the parts that just quotes from the Rif in block letters, and then what's supplemented by the Rush in Ksav Rashi. It's a little bit like, if you open up Shulchan Aruch, you open up Mishabura, right, so you could read straight Mechaber and Ramah together. Mechaber is a block letters, and Ramah kept adding in more phrases, and it just reads straight. And what he's adding is in Ksav Rashi. The Rush really is like that. It's almost like Hagos, it's Hagos on the Rif. There's one that's after that, I think in the Durham. They actually have the Rush in the back on the Rif. You see what he's adding. But Babish, it's like that was a very common, for those interested scholars, those Jewish historians, during the days of the Rishonim, the Chachmei Ashkenaz, the German Rishonim, that was a very common style of sefer. Just like Bizman Azeh, very common style of sefer is Kilchasa, Birchas HaChama Kilchasa. Erev Pesach, Shchalit b'Shabbos Kol Chasa. It was started by Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa. That's a very common style of sefer. And 300 years ago, a very common style of halacha sefer was to write a siddur. The Baal HaTanya did it, the Nesivos did it, then 1700, a number of major, 1700, 1800, they wrote halacha svarim as sidurim, plus all of their comments, every once in a while, you have a paragraph, Hilchos Kriyas Shma, instead of just having a sefer of halacha. So during the days of the Chachmei Ashkenaz, one of the comments, a style in Sfarim, right, was to write Hagos. It's Hagos Maimonides, right? You have the Rambam, he's a Sfardi, he writes what Sfardi talk. Oh, exactly. Ah, so Hagos Abach, exactly. Hagos is where you add glosses on the side. So what the Bach does is he's just mostly adding textual points. Change the gears. What the earlier Chachmei Ashkenaz is doing is they were adding, supplementing, like you said, the Psakim of the Ashkenazim. So you have the Rambam on top, and then Hagos Maimini, who is a contemporary of the Rush, was adding whenever the Baal HaTos disagrees. Not saying the Pirush, not Pirush on the Rambam, usually. Usually it's saying, oh, but Rabbi Yotam says like this. Oh, but the Rini says like this. Right? Or let's say the Ramah is Hagos. The Bach called the Ramah Hagos Shulchan Aruch. So the Rush really is like Hagos Riff. He took the Riff, and then he adds what the Baal HaTos says. So let's see what he says. This is what he did there. How do you try to reach these two Lashonos of the Rosh, they're not arguing. The most simplest interpretation is the second parish is saying, I don't hold up the Yomachus Adino. Rosh says, Rachamal Aslan, don't think that the second day of hold, they'll just go lie, cheat, and steal, and cheating your taxes. Don't think the second day holds we all accept the Yomachus Adino. The Lekaman the Paro da Hada Amu Bechuli Atama Diyamachus Adina. No one argues on it. As I was hoping someone said before, so Yosef began to say, Lashon Gemara doesn't sound like it's a machlokas. The biggest right doesn't have that it's not a machlokas, is because every other city, that's why I wanted, one of the reasons why it was important to see the Gemara Bava Kama. The Gemara keeps going, hacking away again and again and again, Dover Pashut. Shkoyach. Dabar Pashat says it's right. Given, it's like our days that we hold a Shmuel. Well, maybe Shmuel is limited by this. Maybe it's limited by that. But no one has a Havamina that you could just chuck Shmuel Lagami. Something's going to have to be said. Okay, good. They'll remain unsaid. So he says, that's impossible. He says, if all you knew, that this is why it's important to learn more than the sector. If all you knew was just this one student, Mir Bay, in the Gemara Gittin, he says that the simplest approach is to say, obviously, it's my choice. Shmuel, or you're holding Shmuel. So he says, if you learn the rest of Shas, no one argues with Shmuel. Shmuel is all of it. He says, what's the answer? But then, why wouldn't, what's Shas in the second terrace? It must be the because it doesn't apply. Why does it not apply? He says very simple. Mitzvah Masnitzim betray Lishni im hining amelech shelo yasu shtar el b'fnei ha'akos. If the king made a rule that the only shtar that's acceptable is a shtar that's certified by the court, shelo yachnu ha'edim al shtar as shiavo ba'edo b'fnei ha'akos. That you're not allowed to sign on a shtar. And that's the law. You're not allowed to sign on a shtar unless the parties already came to court. The year of Yedu al Kos, that means Hadava. And the court checked out the situation, and the court approved. Yes, we know there was a loan. There is a sale. There is a whatever it is. Yidnu al Shus for Edom Lasto. If there is such a law, that stirs Ha'olin the Arkos. It's interesting. Well, what is the cover of Saul point that the Russians make, actually, what's the deal the Russians making? What's the thing? What stirs Ha'olin the Arkos? Ha'olin? They come up in the court? It's a strange language. Start saying nechtu barcodes. Start habon mearcodes. Let me start to olden barcodes. The Rush says, you know what it means? It means that not that the arcodes wrote it. It means that the court is busy writing everyone's stuff. No, but you have to certify it. You have to go through part of the procedure to go through, come out, come from the arcodes. How do you start to olden barcodes? The Acha Shenich with Ashtar, Levina Edmos of Nearcos, the Nigma Koadava Bith Nehem. So then you rely on them. So this is likewise. I think that the law of Ismanazel also, somewhat similar. is that when you, it's not exactly the same, but let's say if I sell you a house, I want to sell my house to Yossel. So we can't, I don't think it's legal in New York or New Jersey or probably any state in the union to just have like a private sale and we're not going to tell anybody. United States of America?
That was a political issue.
But in terms of the land being, the sale being valid, for those who are eBay focused, you'll notice that they have unique regulations, they have unique procedures for how they auction cars, eBay Motors, and how they auction real estate. Because the United States has laws about this, they regulate the sale of real estate and cars differently than they regulate the sale of headphones and iPods and phones. So you can't just, I can't just sell you my house privately and not tell anybody. It has to be registered with the county clerk, right? So they did even more than just register with the county clerk, and before you can even sign the shtar, it has to be certified by the court. He says, in such a case, so then you say Dima Chusa Dina. The Dima Chusa is that every shtar mecha has to be certified by the court. So then that's the Dima Chusa. But then he says at the last line of the Rush, if Lohinida Melachach, Az, Mitzvah Masisin, Chutz Mikigite Nashim. He says, but let's say there's no such law. There's no such law governing the sale of real estate that you must be court approved. No, you could just do it on your own if you want to. So then, Dima Chusa Dina does not apply. That's the Rush says. In other words, basically what he's saying, the two Lashonos are, yes, in principle, if there is such a din, so then you'll say Dima Chusa Dina. But the second Rush is saying, who says Misha Toga a case where there is any Dima Chusa Dina about the sale of real estate? There's no Dima, in a case where there's no Dima Chusa Dina that mandates that all bills of sale have to come to the court, so then the court, the government could have made such a law, but they didn't. If they didn't, then you have to say, Chav Mishnah is Mechut Mekigite Nashim. If they made such a law, they made such a law. It could be binding, but only if the government, half of this story is the halacha recognizes the law as binding. The other half of the story has to be such a law in the book. No such law, no issue. The argument in the Gemara, the two Lashonos in the Gemara, there are two suggestions how you can explain the Mishnah. So the question is, why do you have to give a second suggestion? What's wrong with Dima Chusa Dina? The Gemara says, yeah, the Dima Chusa Dina only works if it's true that there is such a law that regulates that every bill of sale has to go to the court. There's no such law. There's no Dima Chusa Dina. If there is no Dina Dima Chusa, then...
only applies when there is
a Dina. Exactly. Right. If there's no law, in the year 1802, you were not required to pay income tax. Why? Because there was no law that you had to pay income tax. So you didn't have to pay income tax. But now there's a law that has to pay income tax, and now you do. So, but if you read the Rush carefully on both sides, we're not going to look at the Rush now, but we have 2 minutes left. Read the Rush carefully.
Can you read it inside?
What?
Can you read it again inside?
Sure. Let's read inside. And as we read inside, let's, there is something, I just sold you a bill of goods, no pun intended, that the Rush is saying something very elementary. He's just saying, look, of course I will accept the principle of Dima Chusa Dina, but it only applies if there's a law in the book. There's no law in the book, there's no apply. That is what the Rush says, but there's something a little more, let's notice how he says that there is a law in the book. Let's be careful.
That's the only way to do it.
Oh, good. How do you say initially what Pligia the Rush says these two shows do not argue with each other. Let him on the power of Adam, the Kuya Talmud, Dima Chusa Dina. No one rejects the notion in Eimer and Shas of Dima Chusa Dina. What's going on in our Gemara? Oh, this is the Masisa B'Chei Mishnah. But the Gemara does explain our Mishnah in one of two ways. And here we go. Way number one. In Hidig, I'm going to show you after Shabbos, this is our code, that the king mandated, good, then you'll point out, you can only make the Shabbos in our code. So Yachtu B'Chei Eidim Ma'al Shtar. Ad Shabbo B'Al Yadabro in our code. That you can't sign unless you come to until you come to our court. The Bali Dava, the party, the buyer and seller, or the lender and the borrower, come to the court. The year of the Yidu our court means a Dava, and the court looks into it, and determines that this is really true.
Argit nor shufla edim lachtum. And only then are witnesses allowed to sign. You can understand why you have such a law. You make sure you're not going to have four documents. You're not going to have just Tom, Dick, and Harry decide to sign a star. No. It has to be explored by, investigated by the court. The court says this is legit, so only then do you have a star. The Hainu stars are all about coach. But a star that comes through the coach. It was certified by the coach. The Achash Shaykh was already written elsewhere. It wasn't written by the court. It was written by a private lawyer. So the Nevi'ah is the most of the fair coach. The Nigma called up this mayhem. The Samkir Alayim. So then you come to the coast and they certify. Let's just finish the rush in the next 30 seconds. So I'm here, like, we rely on them. So we definitely rely on them for riot. You know, Yav, Zizu, Kabbalah, Lavin, Marin, Hashem, Mustavos, Lachsam. You definitely wouldn't say sign if they didn't investigate if it wasn't true. I feel enough to call like the Shaki Shachter, Ashley Dina, interesting sidebar bar in the rush. Even if we know that this court, this is a good one, says, right, we know this court. The rumor has it that they would swing a case. They'll decide a case falsely for a fee, but Lomayin Avshayu, they still wouldn't testify falsely. That's more of a problem, that they'll ruin their reputation more, because they might be stamping something that's not true. Then I am asking the Mechalashtar, the king of Bishtari Ma'atada, and the Lord Hedeg HaMe'achat, the king did not make such a rule that you must be certified. Then you give a second answer. But it's not that he says there's no concept. There might be a concept of a star coming through that code, but there's no requirement. It's only if it's required. So why should that? Because the rush sounds like it might be something interesting. Dima Chazina only apply if there's a requirement. The fact that the courts exist, that's not enough. It's only if it's following laws that are mandated. That's going to come back. So we'll pick up next time, tomorrow, trying to figure out what are the parameters of Dima Chus Hadina.
Yeah, but if it's a requirement, then you can get away with it.
If I have a choice, if as I decide to get it to notarized by the court, I would have to, it might not be meaningful.